Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 90 of The Law Entrepreneur. We're getting close to episode 100, aren't we? I'm Neil Tyrant, your host, as usual. Today, my guest is none other than Nicole Aboud, one of my favorite podcasters. If you go all the way back to episode 32 of The Law Entrepreneur, I did a podcast that listed and talked about the 10 shows that I listen to on a regular basis, and Nicole's podcast called The Gen Y Lawyer is one that I listened to then and I listen to this day. So I love the show. And I wanted to have Nicole on because she has this really interesting journey from working as an attorney in a small firm to starting her own firm and now transitioning to being the head of a media company that provide services and resources to small and solo practitioners, small firm and solo practitioners. So it's timely, it's pertinent, and Nicole is a delight, and I can't wait to share her with you. So without any further ado, here is Nicole Aboud. Nicole Aboud, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am over the moon excited that you are on the show today. As I mentioned, I've had a secret infatuation with all things Nicole for quite some time. In fact, if you go back all the way back to episode 32 of The Law Entrepreneur, you'll hear my top 10 podcasts that I listen to get information and inspiration from. And in that list, pretty high up there, is one Nicole Aboud with her podcast, The Gen Y Lawyer, or Gen Y Attorney, right?
No, Gen Y Lawyer.
Gen Y Lawyer.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm seriously blushing over here. Thanks.
Well, so as I said, I've been following you for a long time now, and I'm delighted that you could come on board with us today. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Sure. Well, let me just say hello to your audience, your listeners. I'm definitely glad to be joining you guys today. So I actually am a former practicing attorney. I practiced for 5 years until I realized that it is not what I want to be doing for the rest of my life. So after a long period of time where I did some soul searching, some moping around, complaining to anyone who would listen, I finally figured out what I really want to do, and that is build a business. So I launched my business, Aboud Media, earlier this year in 2017, and it is a video branding and podcasting agency aimed at helping lawyers build their brands online using videos and podcasts. So that's kind of what I do right now.
Yeah. So your journey was one that, if you listen to your podcast, we kind of all followed it together with you. If I'm correct, once you graduated from law school, you worked for a firm and for a little while, and then you decided to start your own practice as a solo practitioner. And it was an entertainment law, correct?
It was intellectual property.
Intellectual property. I'm sorry.
Yes. It's close enough.
And so that's the practice area that you stayed with for a little while until you decided you had this epiphany that you wanted to do some other things. Tell me about that transition, at least the first one, where you went from working for a firm to starting your own firm. What were your challenges? What were your successes? What do you wish you would have done differently? Touch on that for just a little bit.
Sure. And let me just say, thanks for listening so closely. You definitely, you know my journey pretty well. So growing up, I always wanted to be a lawyer. And I imagine most of your guests and listeners probably felt the same, right? Yep. We had this feeling that we just wanted to advocate for others, that we knew we wanted to be attorneys. So I went to law school, loved it. And it wasn't until I started practicing a few months into becoming a lawyer, actually, that I quickly realized that something was off. Something didn't feel right. And of course, initially I chalked it up to just being a new lawyer because that's how it is. The learning curve is steep. So I stuck it out. And I, like you mentioned, I was at a small firm. I was doing family law, business, and civil litigation. So, and it was just me and my employer. So I got some great practical experience right away. I was going to court pretty often. I had client interaction. So I was in a great situation for a new lawyer.
You were being a real lawyer right away.
Exactly. Which is what most young lawyers want. But for some reason, I was just really, really unhappy. And it wasn't just the stress of being a lawyer or just the a bad day. It was consistent. It was every day I would go home and not really want to do anything because I was just so unhappy and I couldn't tell what it was. So that lasted for about 3.5 years working for that firm until my employer decided to shut down the practice. And I thought, you know what, this is a great time to just open my own practice. So I think it was 2014, I launched my own solo practice, which is great because, again, I also really wanted to run a business. So I thought this is the best of both worlds. My own law practice, that's a business as well. So I decided to focus on fashion law, which is, so I'm in Los Angeles. There's a pretty big fashion capital over here. So I thought, you know what, let me use my knowledge of the law, my passion for the fashion industry and combine them and also market myself in a sexy way. Cause that was a niche practice area back then. And it still is now. So for about 2 years, I had my own practice. I had a pretty decent amount of clients for being a new solo practitioner. And I still did some work for other lawyers on the side just to supplement. And for 2 years, I was in a better position than when I worked for the firm. So I felt a little bit happier. I felt a little bit more in control of my life and my decisions and just my career until those feelings started to creep back in, those feelings of unhappiness and what the heck am I doing? So during those 2 years, I had actually launched a podcast called The Gen Y Lawyer. And that podcast was born out of this desire to want to see what other lawyers were doing and hear how they're using their JD, what they're doing with it. Are they happy? Are they successful? Or did they leave the law, kind of like how I wanted to? Did they leave the law and are they doing something else that is fulfilling them? So I launched my podcast and started talking to all these young lawyers across the country. And I think eventually I just mustered up enough courage to do what many of my guests did, which is leave the law, quit, and pursue what they really wanted to do. So that is what led me to the business earlier this year, right? So just getting the courage by listening to my guests and also just learning the know-how of what else I wanted to do.
Yeah, it's really interesting because did you have any kind of entrepreneurial or business background before you launched your own firm?
You know, not officially. So I mean, that wasn't my major. I didn't have a business.
What did run in your family or anything?
That's kind of what it is. Unofficially, I mean, as a kid in college, I dabbled in a few entrepreneurial ventures, but there were nothing to really write home about. It was just, I mean, for about 3 weeks in college, I had a gift basket making business and
there
I had two clients and then I shut it down. Unofficially.
All you needed to learn, you learned from your gift basket entrepreneur effort, right?
That's what it is. That's the quote that this episode will be known for.
So, you know, one of the reasons I started my podcast is because nobody teaches you how to run the business. Mm-hmm. It's not something that they offer in law school. And so there were a ton of folks like yourself, for one reason or another, who were forced to start their own practice. And some made it, a great many did not. And sadly, some that I witnessed, because of their inexperience in running a business or lack of knowledge, made some mistakes that actually cost them their licenses.
Ooh.
So I think it's a terrible problem. And I think lessons like you were getting, and I listened to, you know, pretty much all of your episodes, because you were listening to these young attorneys, and I was hearing it in their stories how they had to land on their own feet somehow and just make this thing work.
Right. Yeah. And I think, and that's why shows like yours are so great, because you are providing that information. And the fact that we live in a time where all this, sure, law schools aren't really providing the business or practical teachings that they should, or the education that they should, but we have the internet, we have shows like yours that are out there. So we're like, new lawyers are in a good position nowadays.
Well, they're in a much better position, I think, than they were, you know, even 10 years ago or 15 years ago, for sure, because there are a great many more resources available to them. But one of the other things that I liked about your whole journey, and it kind of dovetails with mine, law is my fourth career. So I keep trying to decide what I want to be when I grow up. What I connect with you is the sense that you keep redefining yourself. You keep exploring new aspects of what it is that interests you. And now that's taking you to Abood Media. And obviously there's a connection with your podcast. But talk about what Abood Media does and how that can be of service to other attorneys starting out this journey.
Sure, I'd love to. But real quickly, I do want to just touch on something you said, because it brought up a great point. And it's the fact that, well, from your perspective, you see me and you think that I am redefining or rediscovering myself every few years, and you yourself, fifth career. For the longest time, I felt like, and maybe because I'm a millennial and it's something, it's a stereotype I've heard pretty often. For the longest time, I felt very uncomfortable letting people know I was shifting around or I was moving from one career to another. Yeah, because again, the stereotype, and it's ugly and I hate it, is that millennials are fickle and we can't make up our minds. So I didn't want to fall into that stereotype, but I couldn't help but feel like this wasn't right. And it wasn't a mistake to go to law school. I don't regret a single thing. But at the same time, I think it's a great thing if someone is able to recognize that the position they're in now is not where they want to be. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't fit right. And it takes so much courage to pivot to something new. So I think it's a positive.
No, absolutely. It's a positive, I think. And I think it's one of the neat things about law itself, the practice of law itself. If you're uncomfortable or you have tired with, or for whatever reason, you no longer enjoy practicing, in my case, you know, family law, it's easy to say, you know what, I think I'd like to do estate planning, and I can pivot to that. Or if I was doing criminal law and I now want to do commercial litigation, and they're completely different practice areas. They're almost completely different careers. So I think law is unique in that respect, that you can move from practice area to practice area if that's what makes you, you know, happier or you feel more fulfilled. And then you can even go a little further and do something like, well, maybe I don't want to practice law at all. Maybe I want to create a media company that will benefit other attorneys who are practicing.
Right, exactly. And I think that a lot of lawyers feel like they are stuck. And I'm sure there are a lot of reasons why someone feels like they can't change practice areas or even leave the law and start a new business. And I get it. There are definitely situations which make it very difficult.
Yeah, one's attorneys with families or exactly. You know, obligations or history or what have you. But so to some degree, it does take courage.
Definitely. And again, just recognizing that the long-term game is so much more important. So if you think that changing now is uncomfortable and going to cause problems, just think about it 10, 20, 30 years down the road. It's going to be much harder. But let me tell you about Abood Media.
Yeah, please.
I know you asked me. Sorry, I deviated away from that. So yeah, when I was thinking about what are my skills aside from being a lawyer, what can I really do? It didn't come to me right away that this is the type of business I was going to have. But I started getting a lot of people reaching out to me, either because they heard me on the podcast or just knew about my efforts on social media. Lawyers started reaching out to me and asking me to help them with their branding efforts, with their social media marketing, and just with their podcasting efforts, really. So I thought, you know what? Okay, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do digital marketing for lawyers because I understand it. I've been doing it for a while. I'm fairly good at it. So let me help them. So that was the initial iteration of Abood Media earlier this year. And then when I started doing that, when I got a few clients, I was doing the social media marketing and digital marketing, I quickly realized that, you know what, SEO, when I was telling lawyers you should create content, it's all about content marketing, that's where it's at. A lot of lawyers were giving me pushback because all they wanted to hear about was SEO and links, right? Which, sure, are important, but that's not what I really wanted. That's not what I was telling them. That's not what I thought was important and what would be beneficial for them. So I eventually pivoted over to just video. So focusing on creating videos to help lawyers market themselves.
Why that? Why the video?
Yeah, good question. So a few reasons. One, I didn't see many digital marketing companies doing it, especially ones that focus on helping lawyers. So I thought, you know what, this seems like a good space to get into. I am a lawyer, so I can help them in creating their message and make sure that it's ethical and abides by all the rules. Also, I know that video itself as a medium, as a platform, is only going to become more popular and more important in helping businesses build their brands because more consumers are turning to video to get their answers, to research, to be entertained, to be informed, right? So video is just a powerful medium in and of itself. So I just saw the opportunity there. So video marketing is what I focus on. And then over time, I also started incorporating more podcast production as well, because that too was just driven by demand. I actually had lawyers reaching out wanting that. So I made it official, incorporated it into the business. And now that's what it is, video branding and podcast production.
The two pillars on which the Abood Media Empire is being built.
I guess you can call it that, yeah.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. Do you want to help more clients but don't have the resources? Do you feel overwhelmed by the amount of work to do that you can't even think about getting new clients? If this is you, I urge you to try out Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM that streamlines your practice and can save you hours of work each week. Daylight has helped thousands of small businesses, including my own, to manage more clients and cases without adding stress nor chaos. With Daylight, you don't need to fumble through files or notes to know where you are in a case. There's no more CCing your assistant on emails or passing around spreadsheets. Because Daylight now has a new team view that helps you see what everyone in your firm is working on. You can see everyone's appointments and tasks and easily schedule meetings for the entire team or a portion thereof. To learn how Daylight can help your firm, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. Be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. That's Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. Spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. In terms of video marketing, you know, we had a couple of guests on that are in that same space. Is your focus more on video for attorney websites or video to embed in emails or video newsletters, or how does the video take form?
Mm-hmm. Very good question. So there are a few types of videos that we tend to focus on. The two major ones are the welcome branded message type of video. And that's the video that does go on a lawyer's website on the homepage or maybe as their YouTube trailer. But that video is meant to introduce the lawyer, familiarize a website visitor to who this lawyer is, what this law firm does, and how they can help. And then, and that's a little bit more highly produced than the second type of video that we tend to focus on, which is more of a how-to or educational type of videos. And those are more frequent. So they could be weekly vlogs, they can be bi-monthly or bi-weekly. But those are meant to establish the lawyer as an expert in their field. So it's meant to showcase their thought leadership, meant to build that trust, that know, like, and trust factor between them and the viewer who we're hoping becomes the potential client, right, through watching their videos. So those are really the two major types that I always recommend lawyers invest, I guess, their energy in.
So what part of this process is Abood Media performing? Are you consulting with the attorneys to help guide them, or are you actually sending out the crew to do the actual filming and produce the end product, or somewhere in between?
All of it. Okay. So in terms of the video, so it's full production. I come in, I work with the lawyers and the law firms to help craft the message, right, and strategize the overall plan, because there's no point in creating a video if you don't understand how it works into your overall marketing strategy or campaign. So first we take a look at that, we identify the goals, and I help them craft the message because I understand the marketing side of it, but I also understand the legalese that a lot of lawyers gravitate towards, but doesn't necessarily resonate with just a layperson who's watching this video. So I kind of bridge that gap. We craft the message. I have a very talented set of videographers and editors working with me. So we go in there when we schedule the date, we go in there, and I actually go as well because I actually really enjoy it. but we go, we film, and we take it back, we edit, and we handle everything afterwards in post-production. So we upload, we maximize the SEO, we help them put it on their website. So anything that's involved after actually creating the video.
I would think that one part of the benefit that you provide is that a lot of attorneys, when you talk to them about, you know, video marketing or the use of video as a marketing tool, what they hear is commercial, TV yeah. commercial, right?
Yep.
And so I'm going to just guess that you have folks coming to you, I want that slick commercial, video, and you kind of have to talk them out of that in some cases to say, nah, that's not really what you want, is it?
Yeah. So, that hasn't happened that often. It
really?
Maybe happened twice. Yeah. Okay. And I think it's probably happened just twice. And I think I credit that to just the type of person I attract in the first place. So I think, I don't know if just my messaging is so good that I don't put out those vibes that's the type of video I create. But you're right. That is a hurdle that we do have to cross. And it's undoing what a lot of lawyers believe is what a video looks like. Because all we've seen is, or all lawyers have seen are TV commercials. And now we have online video, and it's a completely different beast, right? It's a different language. It's a different feel that these videos need to have. And in fact, having an ad-like video on the internet will definitely not work. But you're right, there is a lot of resistance and a lot of hurdles that I need to educate them on.
Do you find that is, somewhat age specific for your clients? I'm thinking, old guys like myself are probably coming at you with, I thought we were going to do a commercial, and maybe the younger ones who are more tuned to the role that video plays in the marketplace today might be more open-minded.
You would think that's what it is, age specific, but it's not. I've actually had a lot of older attorneys approach me with really fresh ideas of how they can create videos online.
Well, us old guys, we have, good ideas sometimes.
All the time. Yeah. Yeah. So no, I don't think that's what it is. Again, it's just what their specific experiences have been with video.
Sure.
But I mean, I would imagine, the younger attorneys probably are a little bit more in tune with what online video looks like as opposed to TV commercials.
Tell us a little bit about the podcast part of it then. I mean, obviously you have a podcast, I have a podcast. So we understand what goes on in terms of producing one. What kind of services are you providing for attorneys who are dabbling with the idea of, hey, maybe I should be doing a podcast, or I want to do a podcast?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So podcasts seem to be super hot right now, right? I love podcasting. I mean, I love video, but I love podcasting.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a podcast junkie. I was just telling somebody today, I spend way too much time listening to other podcasts.
Yeah, so you take extra drives around the neighborhood just to finish an episode.
Really? No kidding.
I mean, sometimes.
Yeah, I park down at the end of the street on the circle just so, because I got to finish this podcast. Okay.
Seriously.
I got a half hour to go. I'm just going to sit here and listen to it.
And you know what? I listen on 1.5 speed because I want to get through it, but still understand what's happening.
Right. Allow me to consume more.
Yeah, exactly. So podcasting really did change my life, and I credit everything good in my life to my podcast. So I'm so happy to talk about this. But so podcasting is very unique and special. And I think lawyers who maybe don't want to, aren't there yet in terms of showing their face on camera, podcasting could be a great avenue for them, especially because lawyers love talking. We're very great at expressing ourselves orally. So this could be a great medium. But in terms of podcasting, what we do is also just full production. So we actually help the lawyers strategize as to what type of show they should create, assuming it's a good fit for them. So it needs to be a good fit on both ends. They need to have they need to have the personality for it, right? They need to have a message that they know that they're going to share with their listeners. They need to have the knowledge, which more than likely they do. And at the same time, they need to have the dedication and the commitment to putting in the work, because podcasting is a lot of work. But we try to at least lessen some of that work by taking it off their hands as soon as they record it. So after we help them figure out what this show is going to look like, how often it's going to publish, what their message is going to be, who it's going to reach, and how it's going to bring in clients or help them build their brand, they record and they send it to us, and we handle everything after that. So we edit, we create the show notes that go along with the episode, which is kind of just a blog that explains what's happening in that specific episode. We upload it on their behalf, and then we help them create promotional material for it. So it really is full service.
Yeah. Or as much of that as you want.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I thought when I was creating my podcast, one of the things is I knew that it had to fit with what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're speaking of when you talk about matching it up and making sure the message matches the person who's delivering it, because I knew that I could not do a podcast on the technical aspects of, say, family law. Yeah. Although I consider myself a good family law attorney, I know there are way smarter, way better family law attorneys than I am. And so I didn't feel like I had a lot to offer there. I'm assuming that you go through that conversation with your potential podcast clients to make sure that there is a match between what they think they want to do and what they're capable of doing.
Oh, yes. I can't even tell you how many consultations I've had with lawyers who come with a lot of ideas, and many of them are great. Many of them are not.
Right.
but that's so important. And I think that's part of figuring out what you want your brand as a lawyer to be, and then deciding what the different avenues of how you're going to get that message out there are going to be. So yeah, I think a huge part of wanting to start a podcast involves, what can you stand talking about every single week? Because you are going to be talking about it all the time.
Yeah.
So if the aspects of family law are not something, if that's what you practice and you want to leave it there at work and not bring it with you to your podcast, then family law is probably not the topic for you. And then a second is, again, what's this brand going to revolve around? Do you want to become known as the best gosh darn family law attorney in the country? Or do you want to build your brand around anything else you want to do in life as a tech expert, right? Is it something else? Because that's what your podcast is going to be about.
Just as an example, I'm going to give a little shout out here to a local attorney who I love, Lindsay Parvis. I hope she's listening. But she is one of the most brilliant family law attorneys I know. And she writes extensively on the technical and legal aspects of family law. For her, doing a podcast on a subject matter specific area would be perfect for her, but not for me. You know, yeah. So you have to find that match.
Exactly.
What's the biggest obstacle then that attorneys have towards, you know, taking advantages of your services? Is it just deciding to go for it, or is there something else
that's at play there?
Yeah.
You know what? In my experience, the biggest obstacles that the potential clients that I speak with have, probably just understanding what these mediums do and how they can how they tie into their practice and how it helps them build their brand overall. And rightfully so, these are new platforms. And like you said, this is not something we are aware of in law school, right? We're just taught to practice law. So we don't know what the marketing avenues are. So for me, it's educating them on why this is something they should do and invest their time in. But aside from that, once I get through that and explain and show them how this is powerful, they need to be doing this or else it's going to be very difficult to bring in business, or at least it's going to be more challenging. There are a lot of things you can do, obviously, but yeah, once I cross that, then I have no problems.
Do you get the, I don't see what the return on investment is going to be in this effort argument?
Yeah, no, I hear that pretty often. And again, it's because lawyers are looking for hard data, right? They want those stats. They want those numbers of if I put out one episode, how many clients am I going to bring in? And that's not necessarily how it works.
Right. It reminds me of the days when lawyers were first putting up their websites, and they would put up their website and then sit back and wait for the phone ring.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly. That's not really how it works.
Yeah, which does present a problem from someone who's trying to promote these services, because I can share the data on how powerful videos are, how often they convert, that kind of stuff. But for a specific episode, for one video, there's just no way to identify how many clients you're going to get from it, because it's part of an overall campaign. And it's, again, part of building the overall brand where you just don't know where the business is going to come in from. But you put it out there, right? You keep generating that content.
Right. Well, listen, Nicole, I, as I said, I've been a secret admirer and a Gen Y lawyer stalker for a long time now.
Thank you.
I'm going to continue to be so. I'd love to have you back on the show a little later, and we can delve a little further into all things Abood Media. But tell our audience a little bit about what's the best way to reach out to you if they want to follow up or if they want to take advantage of your services.
Sure. So I'm going to give you my email. That's probably the best way to reach me. It is Nicole@aboudmedia.com. So that's AboudMedia.com. And I think the best place to find me on social media is on Instagram. I'm sharing a lot of just behind the scenes of what I'm doing now that I'm building the business, no longer practicing law. And my handle on Instagram is @Nick_Aboud. So NIC_ABBOUD.
I'm going to have you back on. We're going to talk about Instagram.
Okay.
Because that's like for me, if I travel across the river to Virginia, I'm lost. If I travel across that chasm to Instagram, I feel like a fish out of water.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
It is such a great platform.
Yeah. So I've been looking for somebody to yak about Instagram, and I think I found them.
I'm more than happy to do that.
That would be terrific. Well, Nicole, thank you ever so much for being a guest on The Law Entrepreneur, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.